world that seems very hopeless. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. Thank you for your word again this morning, that we can open freely, that we can speak, we can understand by your Spirit, and that we can apply to our lives and see your Spirit enable us to do the things that you've called us to do. So help us to that end again this morning as we open up your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 46 this morning. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Well, I'll be honest with you that in saying that on Tuesday night, I was a little bit discouraged and disappointed, and I didn't sleep well at all, and maybe some of you did the same. Obviously, there is much concern about the future of this country. There is great concern from a Christian perspective, especially about the sanctity of life and the moral path that we will likely be taking. But let's be clear about something. God did not lose on Tuesday. He rules and he still reigns magnificently. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still the ruler of this world and of the entire universe, and his purposes will not fail. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Psalm 33:10, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples." And yet, even in that, it's still easy at times to get worried and discouraged and even give up when we seem to be facing hopeless situations, whether it be politically speaking or whether it be personally speaking. There's a story that is told of a man who was a king. And this king faced what seemed like an impossible situation. And in this case, it was what appeared to be the inevitable defeat of his nation that was up against another nation that was strongly opposed to him and his country. The enemy was stronger. The enemy had defeated numerous other nations. And now they were threatening, they were intimidating, they were flexing their muscles to weaken the king. His back was against the wall to surrender, but the story goes on to tell us that the king refused to comply. What did he do? He knew nothing else to do but to humbly and with great confidence go before God himself and pray and seek for his mercy to be delivered. And the result? God sent one angel on one night to destroy the enemy and to wipe out 180,000 men. The The details of that story are found in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. It is the story of King Hezekiah's victory over the Assyrians. Now, why do I present that story to you this morning? I present that story to you this morning because that is the story in which many scholars suggest is the history behind what we read here in Psalm 46. It is a psalm that reminds us that no matter what adverse circumstances or challenges we face, no matter how crazy our world seems to be, God is still God. The first two words of this verse 1 says, God is, not that God was and not that God will be someday, but that God is. Last week's message on personal revival is a message that I think many in the church will agree with. We need to get right with God. But I believe few will respond to it unless they are in a position where they are in a tight spot and where they have nowhere else to turn. Because it is those difficult and challenging times that are times that God uses in our lives to push us to cry out for the mercy of God and to seek His cleansing and to walk in submission to His Word and to bring Him glory in our lives. But we have become a culture that has turned from God and worshiped false idols. We have become a culture of idolatry. Instead of worshiping God, we have worshiped the idol of economics and money. We have worshiped the idol of personal pleasure. We've worshiped the idol of selfish gain. Listen to how Paul defines it in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in the first four verses. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's amazing how dated that passage is. And yet read history and start in the Old Testament and discover there that when God's people turn away from Him, there is always disastrous results. And yet on the other hand, Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so the question is, what are we to do when a nation appears to be walking away from God and appears to be reaping the results and consequences of that decision? As a Christian, we must remember that even in uncertain times, God is still God, and we can have confidence in Him. And the psalmist here in Psalm 46 helps us to understand that point by describing the following truths about God. And that's where we need to keep our eyes, not on the circumstances, not on what's going on around us, but on God. And here's why. Number one, the sufficiency of God in a troubled world. Verse 1 says that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. The phrase ever-present literally means being found sufficient. In other words, God is proven help when we need help, when we're up against a troubled world. God has a flawless track record of helping His people. When it says that He is our refuge, notice that it doesn't say that He provides us with a refuge, but that He is our refuge. He is our shelter from danger. He is our strength, verse 1, when we feel weak and when we feel like we can't go on any longer. And so the truth of who God is in verse 1 now becomes foundational to what it's about to say in verse 2. Therefore, based on what was just said, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. When the Assyrians were threatening Jerusalem, it was Isaiah the prophet that told King Hezekiah, don't be afraid because of the words that you have heard, the words that God told him. In other words, God is trustworthy and God is dependable. He doesn't change, even though circumstances all around us do change. Even though this world in which we live is a troubled world and a sinful world. The question is, where are you going to turn in the midst of these troubling times? Are you going to turn to your money? Well, we can see what has happened in the last couple of weeks and how undependable our money really is, right? Are you going to turn to government? I would just say to you that if you're waiting for the government to solve your problems, and if you're waiting for the government to solve the problems of the world and to bring peace to the world and to improve the moral compass of this nation, you will be waiting a long, long time. And you will never have hope, and you will always be worried. If our hope as believers is not in God, then we are a people that have no hope. Because God is the only thing in this world that is proven to be sufficient and trustworthy. Circumstances cannot shake who God is. And therefore, circumstances should not shake our confidence in Him either. And so we must remember the sufficiency of God in a troubled world in which we live. Second, we must remember the security of God in an insecure world. When you read the description here in verse 2 and 3 where it says that the earth gives way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging, there's a picture here of turmoil and insecurity and confusion. A world that seems to be overpowering us. In this case, the enemy that is looking to destroy Jerusalem. But I want you to notice the contrasting picture that's given to us in verse 4. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Okay, now understand the river here is describing God. The benefactor of this river is the people of God. Okay, it speaks of the city of God or Jerusalem. And I think the contrast gives us insight into what this river is for us. Because if you look at the first picture in verse 2 and 3, it describes confusion. And yet as God's people, we have the pure and clear and refreshing waters of His truth, His Word, that gives us direction and purpose. We live in a world that is trying to figure out who they are. And why they're here and where they're going. And yet we have a wonderful security in knowing who we are as Christians and that we were made in the image of God and that we have an eternal hope. People are looking for love and acceptance and forgiveness. And yet as Christians, we have a never-ending supply from the river of grace and mercy. People are looking for something to meet the needs of their heart. But as a Christian, God has given us Jesus Christ in the loving act to die for our sins so that we would be rescued from the kingdom of darkness and confusion and from the grip of sin. We have the presence of God himself by his Spirit living within us. Verse 4 says, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God lives within his people. And then in the midst of all of the insecurities of our world that leads to unhappiness and heartache, God brings to us contentment and joy because it says he makes glad the city of God. Listen, as a Christian, who gets into office and what party wins and what direction our world goes should not define who we are and whether or not you or I are happy and whether or not you and I are secure. But I wonder, what in the two pictures that are given here, what picture would best describe you? Waters of turmoil and confusion, or waters of peace and security? You know what? Maybe for too long we've looked for our security in too many other things besides God. That's why it's sometimes necessary for God to remove those securities from us, so that we'll recognize that our true security is only found in him. Maybe it's time for us to run to our refuge and strength and experience the river that can satisfy. Verse 5 goes on to say, God is within her, she will not fall. Again, describing security in God. God will help her at the break of day. Now, that break of day is referring to a critical time. And it's referring to a time when we need him the most. And in that time, he will be there and he will be sufficient. He will provide the security we need, even when the world seems to be either falling apart or when the world seems to be opposing us. And then verse 7 says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Fortress meaning the high, safe place where I can be secure. The third thing we need to remember is this. It is the sovereignty of God in an unpredictable world. Verse 6 says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. Now, that statement created in me this week a little bit of curiosity about all of the wars that are going on in our world today. So I did a little research. And Google can be a great blessing. to find out some of the things that you'd like to know. And I discovered in researching as to how many wars are going on in the world today, guess how many wars are going on in the world today? Anybody want to take a wild stab at it? 41. There's 41 wars going on in the world today. You go, well, we're all, I've never heard of that. Well, there, most of them are in Africa and in the Middle East. Some of them civil, some of them not. Civil wars. Needless to say, our world is unpredictable at best. And in the foreseeable future, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what North Korea is going to do. They're the epitome of unpredictable. We don't know what Iran is going to do. We don't know where the radical Islamic movement will lead. We know where they want to go. And we don't know what the United States of America will look like in the next 10 or 20 or 30 years and even beyond. We don't know all the problems that will arise for the next generation. Man, it's hard sometimes to not wonder what kind of world that your kids and your grandkids are going to inherit. Isn't it hard sometimes not to worry about that just because of how unpredictable the world is? There is a lot we do not know about our future, but there is one thing that I do know, And it is this: God is sovereign, and he is still in control of our world. Verse 6 says that he lifts his voice and the earth melts. Verse 8 and 9, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars, even 41 of them, cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And he will do those things. Just go and read the book of Revelation. I think we have to remind ourselves that with all of the things going on in the world today, God isn't surprised or taken off guard. God doesn't say, oh no, look who got into office. Look what party got in. Now what am I going to do? No. Actually, let me tell you what it looks like. Let me read for you a passage that Isaiah gives. And just picture this. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Now, just get that picture to begin with. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. You know what a footstool is, right? You just kind of kick your feet up, and, you know, God kind of looks at the earth like, I just put my feet on it. And he goes on to say, where is the house that you will build for me? Can you build a house big enough for God, in other words? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things so that they came into being, declares the Lord? Now, doesn't that just put everything that's going on in our world into perspective? Do you think that anyone on earth can do anything that just wows God, going, ooh, wow, that was amazing? No, God made the earth. And so there is no war. There is no rebellion, there is no political leader, there is no political system, there is no military strength that can outpower or outmaneuver or outsmart God. In fact, just by the word of God, he can, as it says in verse 6, he can melt the earth. He can stop wars. It is all within his sovereign control. And so let's remember that God raises up leaders, but God also removes leaders as he sees fit. God is sovereign, and he is still in control who gets into office and who doesn't. And so the question arises then, why would God allow certain people to rule and allow certain things to happen that are so against the things of God? I don't know the answer to that question, except to say that God uses all things, good and bad, as we would see it, to accomplish his purposes in a way that will ultimately bring glory to him. Problem is, we don't understand what God's thinking. His ways and his mind are much higher and greater than ours. But let me just give you one example. China, we heard some about China during the missions conference, but China is one of the heaviest persecuted places on the earth for Christians. And what you'll find in China is that the church is growing more rapidly than probably anywhere else in the world. Bad circumstances, yes, but good, God-glorifying results. I think the other thing you have to be careful of when you raise the truth of his sovereignty is that it doesn't mislead you to the following conclusions. Because I've heard Christians say these things before. For example, I don't need to vote if God is sovereign. And I don't need to be involved if God is sovereign. And yet God has called us to stand for truth and to be responsible Christians and citizens as his word directs us. So that is a misled conclusion to think that I should not vote or be involved. The other misled conclusion is that somehow thinking that God approves of all of the policies of the man or the party that wins. God does not approve of those things. God's sovereignty does not endorse sinful deeds and sinful decisions that people make. And the other conclusion that some will be misled by is to then give up and not care anymore, because what's the use? Look where the world's going. Look where this country's going. Look, I've been fighting all this time. I've been standing for truth all this time, but look where it's going. I would just respond to that in saying that God's sovereignty is every reason why we should not give up and why we should continue to be a light in a dark world. Listen, darkness is an opportunity for the church to shine brighter than ever. It's to point people to the Savior, Jesus Christ. I think you might be pleasantly surprised how people that are losing their securities, their economic securities, and how open they will be to finding true, lasting security. I would add to that by saying that committed Christians should run for office as the Lord directs them. Christians should back organizations that stand for biblical principles. We should continue to pray for God's mercy for this nation. We should continue to be a voice for the millions that have no voice and are aborted. And so I would say to you that giving up is not even an option for Christians. So let me just say in summary, here's what we need to remember this morning. We need to remember the sufficiency of God in a troubled world. We need to remember the security of God in an insecure world. And thirdly, we need to remember the sovereignty of God in an unpredictable world. Okay, important truths, right? How do I apply them? What do I do when I walk out of here today? Verse 10. Here's your answer. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Okay, this is our action point this morning. What it's saying is stop and don't panic and don't freak out, people. The idea here is to literally take your hands off. Take your hands off what? Take your hands off trying to control everything and to try to figure everything out, because we want to so often know what our future looks like, and in doing so, we worry and we fear and we get our eyes on all sorts of what ifs, and we get our eyes on all of these circumstances that are changing all over the place and going crazy and going in the wrong direction. Instead, we're to stop in the midst of the craziness of our world. We're to be quiet in the midst of the noisiness of our world, and we are to remember and reflect on who God is, and that He is still God, and that in all things, whether good or bad, God will be exalted. God will come out looking good at the end. And He will bring glory to Himself. God will accomplish some wonderful things for His kingdom that we just don't know how He's going to do yet. And And so this is not a time to hang our heads downward. This is a time we must hold our heads upward. Of all people in the world, shouldn't we be the people that do that? This is a time when we must trust God. This is a time when the church must be committed to and stand for the truths of His Word. This is a time which we must confess our sin before God and get right with Him. This is a time in which we must love the world and those who oppose us. Let us not go to their depth, into the spirit in which they do it when they oppose us, because then we are no different than them. This is a time in which we must bring hope, the hope of the gospel to the world. This is a time to live with confidence because of who God is. And so let's make no mistake. God will be exalted by the events of this week because God is still God. You know what? I sleep much better when I realize that. We know the last chapter. We know the final score. And yeah, sometimes it seems like, or at least it feels like, we might be losing the battle, but we're not losing at all. And so let's take heart in who God is and in the fact that God is still God. The Lord Almighty is with us, right? The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for solid, deep, rich truths that we just need right now. And thank you, Lord, that with that it brings great security in our lives. Knowing who you are, knowing that we belong to you as your people. Knowing that you are sovereign. Knowing that you are sufficient and you are dependable. Oh, how opposite that is of the world in which we live. And so, Lord, help us to get our eyes off of the world and all of the discouraging things that are going on in the world. And not that we hide our heads in a hole, Lord, but that we lift our heads looking to you, trusting you, and living in confidence because of you, getting up each day with a purpose. Help us, Lord, in these times to live for your truth. Help us to reflect your holiness to a world that is so desperately looking for answers. Oh, Lord, help Rothbury to be a light that shines incredibly bright in these times. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Stand together as we close.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. charge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry, touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial like the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. Trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect and rest. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest.
Amen. Good song. And I love the last part of the third verse. Those who trust Him wholly will find Him wholly true. Maybe we don't see God for who He is completely and don't see how magnificent He is. Maybe because we haven't trusted Him for who He is. So put Him to the test. Trust Him during these times. Not just in the world and all the things that are going on, but with the concerns you have in your own life and some of the discouraging things that are happening in your own life. Trust Him with those things and see what God will do for you. He will be faithful. He will be faithful. You're dismissed.
Are fully